but Jude. So in your Bibles, let's turn to the next epistle, the epistle of Jude. And this one is only about 25 or so verses long. It's a short epistle, but like the others, there is a lot contained. Like 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, we do see the hint of false teaching beginning to creep into the church. And that's why Jude will be so strong. Okay, now the theme, you can write that in at the very top of your notes. The theme of Jude, this general epistle of Jude, bless you, is contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. What does it mean to contend? To fight, exactly. And so the theme of Jude is to fight, to contend. There's even the element of earnestly contend. Not just fight, but fight with earnestness, with real intention for the faith. Okay, so that's the epistle of Jude's theme. Okay, let me just put it here again. The theme, again, is contending for the faith, fighting for the faith. And this epistle was written around 70 to 80 AD. 70 to 80 AD. Now, we don't know for sure the exact date, but in between that time frame is more appropriate. Again. 66. What's that?
66.
That Bible says 66. The Swaggart Expositors, 66 AD. Obviously, there's not a final, this is the exact date, you know, because of the fact of, the reason why that early date in that Bible would be because there's no mention in Jude about the destruction of the temple, is there? There's no mention of that kind of destruction. Such a huge event isn't mentioned at all. And so some will say it's an early date, just like Jimmy Swaggart would say there. But some will say as well between 70 and 80 AD, just because of the fact that there was false teaching that is emphasized here. And so really, somewhere in between that time is totally fine. But let's go to the background of Jude. Now, during this time, there was a surprisingly large number of Pauline and non-Pauline epistles that confront the problem of false teachers. Now remember, this is what's happening during this season. Around this time, Peter and Paul have been in Rome, probably been put to death. But Paul's letters, towards the close, are dealing with these elements of false teachers. And almost all of these letters allude to it. So keep that in mind. When you're reading through Paul's epistles, or you're reading through the other general epistles, and you start catching, you catch hints of the error that was beginning to creep into the church. See, the enemy doesn't just sit back and say, well, let me let the church start up and then I'll try to hinder them later on. Now, he starts right away. He tries to get people to say things wrong, to teach wrong, to bring error, to bring confusion. That's the work of Satan. And so these epistles are all alluding to false teachers, and some of them pinpointedly directing their epistles towards them. Remember in Galatians, Paul even said, if anybody teaches or preaches to you any other gospel than what I've preached to you, be he an angel or anybody else, let them be accursed. Remember that? It was strong. He said, if anybody else preaches any other gospel unto you, let them be accursed. I mean, he was very forceful. And so that's what we're talking about and how it alludes to it or hits it directly. But Jude in his little epistle goes beyond all other New Testament epistles in its relentless and passionate denunciation of apostate teachers who had invaded the church. I mean, Jude holds back no punches. He is directly coming to bring this target against these false teachers that were coming into the church. You know, think about what they were facing back then. Think about how strong this error was. I mean, this is the early church. This is not the church in 1500 AD. This is still before 100 AD. This is, the early church years. Jude is one of the half-brothers of Jesus. I mean, he grew up and saw his older brother Jesus he's sound preaching. I mean, even Jude himself was an unbeliever until he came to the faith. Amen? James was the same. This man is still alive. He had seen Jesus. He saw his life. They heard. They were there. They were all around this stuff. And yet, these false teachers are creeping in. Think about the day that we're living in. Do you think that the enemy is withholding his threat against the church just because maybe we weren't there in the early church and had such a strong upbringing? Does the enemy do that? Nah, he's more intent on destroying the church now than he's ever been. He wants to destroy the church. He hates you. He hates all you believe in. He hates your looks. He hates that you go to church. He despises you. And he don't care what he does to hurt you. He wants to do it. Amen? And so the error was strong then, but it's even strong now. And in the same way that they were told to contend for the faith through Jude, that contention for the faith, or that contending for the faith, is just as important now as it was back then. Amen. That's why you and I have got to be a people of God's Word, a people living and growing in God's Word and in the Spirit, so that we can also be like Jude and contend for the faith. You know, we're living in a time when there is so much atheism that's permeating our society. I'm talking about the United States of America, or what you can call the West. That could include places like Europe and other places. Some of those areas are being bombarded with the message that God doesn't even exist. They're being told that science has reasoned away the existence of God. You, as a believer in Christ, are looked at as a fool, when the reality is the Bible condemns them as fools. There's one scripture that says that they have, you know, tried to learn so much that they have become fools with their knowledge. You know, we've got to be careful that we don't allow our reasoning and our intellect to begin to push out faith. Did you hear that? Now, I'm not saying education and learning is a bad thing. It's a good thing. God wants us to use our brains. Amen? Education is a good thing. But we must never allow ourselves to come to the place where our learning and our intellect, our reasonable faculties, even our philosophical pursuits begin to reason away God. Because the reality of God is all hinging on faith. Amen? And yet the very existence of God has been displayed in such a way, the Bible says, that there is no man that will have an excuse. Think about it. The book of Acts says no man will be able to stand before God and say, "But I did not know." No one will have an excuse. The Bible says he's not left himself without witness. It's there. The complexity of life, the complexity of animate and inanimate things in the world prove the existence of God. You know, just looking at the reality of how complicated the human being is. The reality of our DNA. You know, scientists have gone so far as to even map out the genome thing, or there's the reality of DNA, and they could look into the DNA and see things. And the way that the DNA makes you to function, makes the human cell to create and to ultimately form our physical bodies to be the way that they are. The complexity of just the human eyeball. All of that proves the existence of a creator or intelligent design. Some call it ID. All of that helps us to see the reality of a designer in the beginning who programmed us in our DNA to develop and to become who we are. Amen? And yet, so complex to allow us free will. It's a powerful thing. You know, I was saying the other day how our rabbits had some little bunnies. I mean, our rabbit had 9 little bunnies. I mean, tiny little things. Now they're little fluffy balls, you know. They're only about a little over a month old now. Cute little things. But you look at those little bunnies, and it's not like the mother rabbit speaks to that little bunny and starts telling them how to clean themselves. I mean, sometimes we look at those little bunnies, they're little, a month old, and they're over there, they clean themselves, they get their ear, and they start cleaning themselves, they're licking themselves. Who told them to do that?
They don't have to be spanked.
They don't have to be spanked to do it either. That's right, man. That's true. The reality is, of course, they're ruled by instinct. There are instincts within that little animal to make it do what it does. The mother's not teaching it to do it. Just like whenever a baby is born, you don't have to teach the baby how to suck on a bottle or to latch on. You follow what I'm saying? There's an instinct within even humanity that teaches things without you having to instruct. But where did all that come from? And that complexity points to a designer, an intelligent design. But it's the fools that deny the existence of God. Just like the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so we are living in a generation where we are being told here in the West or in the United States, in our universities, our children are having to battle through instructors telling them God does not exist. Have you seen the movie God's Not Dead? It's a decent movie, right? It's a decent movie. They just came out with God's Not Dead 2. If you have a chance to check that one out, check it out. I haven't, but either way, they're trying to promote that reality. It's sad that we're in a culture now that they're trying to say God doesn't exist. My point is this, is that you and I, as God's children, are going to have to fight. And we will not be able to fight if we are not diligent students of God's Word. We have to be students of God's Word, and we have to grow in our knowledge of that Word. And so that's why it's good for us to study the Bible and be in prayer so that when the attack comes, we're able to fight. Amen? You see, in our homes, for those of us that have children that are in the public school system, that public school system isn't favorable to their Christian beliefs. I mean, it's against their beliefs. They're going to teach way more the teaching of evolution than they'll ever teach about God. And so we have got to be ready when our children come home to instruct our children in regards to the truth. You see, it's not only the responsibility of the church to do that. You know, we bring our children to Sunday school and we come to the Sunday school class for adults. Thank God for that. Amen? But it's also our responsibility as parents when our children come home to instruct them as well. Amen. The blame isn't on the church. The blame is going to be on us. It's our responsibility to raise up our children in the way they should go. Right? And the scripture says if we instruct them right as a child, they won't depart from that when they grow up. Now, there are rebellious years. There are times of questioning. There are times of trying to find themselves. Yes. But we must instruct them and be there to help them to come to a grasp of the truth of Scripture and the truth of who God is. Amen? It's our responsibility. Amen? So it's up to us. If we allow our children to just watch atheistic shows on TV, because that stuff is going to influence them. Amen? Amen? If we keep our kids out of church, and they're not being influenced by church and by the things of God, it's no wonder why they will begin to not even believe in God. It's our responsibility to bring them, to instruct them, to teach them. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
I mean, if they don't like Pastor James's teaching, then take them somewhere else. But it's your responsibility to teach them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm serious. Not everybody's going to like the way Pastor James just Amen. Blathers all the time.
Amen.
Not everybody's going to like it. Amen? I mean, that's the way it is. But I'm sure there's got to be another good church somewhere.
Yes.
And they can sit there. They can learn. They can grow. Amen? If they don't want to hear those teachers, give them a Bible. Let them read it. You instruct them. You teach them then. Amen?
Amen.
Anyways, we're living in a... As far as the attack towards your Christian faith, it is vicious today like no other. I mean, I'm serious. They look down on you because you believe in going to church. I mean, you as a Pentecostal that believes in speaking in tongues on top of it all? Mm-hmm. Well, some people look at you as totally lunatic, man. But the Bible specifically talks about these things, and we're going to believe the whole Bible. Amen? Praise the Lord. There's a power to that full life and the whole baptism and the Holy Spirit and anything else. But anyways, let's move forward. We have got to be just like Jude in our readiness to contend for the faith. Amen? We've got to. Well, we're going to, you know, let's stop there. We're already a little tad over time there. We'll stop there. We'll continue right from number 2 on the background next time. And we thank God for all that He's doing. There are times when we have to fight for the faith. Sometimes you got to call names. Sometimes you got to name them. Say, these people, that kind of church, that kind of ministry. Amen? It's not always easy, but God has called us to earnestly contend for the faith. Amen? That's real. That's real, kind of. You know, you look at those UFC fighters and MMA, and they're fighting, and they got all these big old muscles, and they're fighting to get that belt. You guys follow what I'm saying? Or to get that big paycheck? That kind of fighting pales in comparison to your fight. You are called to fight for the gospel. Amen? They'll get their money. They'll get their accolades. But a lot of them will end up burning in hell. Did you hear what I said? And if they don't repent and get their lives right with God, they will go there. But you as a child of God are in a different kind of fight. And that fight is worse, more intense. But you are on the winning side. Amen? It's a real fight. And we've got to be willing to, you know, sometimes put up our dukes. Amen? Spiritually speaking. Praise the Lord. Lord, I ask that you would continue to be with us throughout the remainder of our service together. I ask that, Lord, your word would continue to speak to our hearts and our lives, even beyond our time together this morning. I pray that, Lord God, you would give us, Lord God, the grace to grow and to be able to draw near to you, to earnestly contend for the faith. And I thank you, Lord, for who you are and what you're going to do. Bless the remainder of our time together. We do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.